It's been a while, but we left off back before Christmas in Ecclesiastes and at the very end. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 12 and seek to finish this. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Let's pray. Lord, wisdom is our friend, and to be commanded not to despise wisdom is only necessary in a fallen world where there is so much inherent foolishness, as we have in our day, and in every day, because our hearts are not inclined to the things of God. As the psalmist says, "Oh, that my ways were established to keep your commandments." And, Lord, that would be good for us and for all. And, Lord, I pray that there would be that in us, that we are called wise. Not after the worldly fashion, but according to what you would consider wise and approve of. I pray, Lord, that you would enable us by your Spirit to meet tonight and learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wisdom is not something that I note there is an overabundance of in our day. Wisdom is not a commodity that is considered to be valuable. In fact, wisdom, if you ask people about wisdom, they would say something like, well, wisdom is a very changing thing. You can't say somebody's wise or foolish. It's just, it changes. I mean, I may say that it's foolish to not know the difference between a girl and a boy, if you're of any age and have your brain operating. But I would be told that, well, no, it's foolish if you can discern that. If you actually see someone and say, that's absolutely a boy, that's absolutely a girl, then you're being foolish, because we just can't know that. It's inside. And so wisdom is not sought for any absolute means. People think they're wise in their own eyes. The Bible teaches, Proverbs says, a fool is wise in his own eyes. He thinks himself to be wise. Paul talks about those in Romans who professed to be wise, but they became fools. People who are the smartest, not just the dumb, uneducated hicks, but the smartest, most intellectual people believe that in things that are foolish. People who have degrees, who have higher education, some of the biggest fools, the ones that they get their degrees and then they believe that they're the smart people, and so then they go out and talk about all kinds of nonsense. There's so much nonsense today. The common man sees it. But the brilliant seem not to. And then they stand up in award shows or whatever their platform is and just tell the world. And in so many words, they say, look at me. I'm foolish. And to them and to their kind. They're the wisest people on earth. So when it says there that the preacher taught the people knowledge and proverbs, which was wisdom literature, that's a who cares to the world. And yet Solomon begins this conclusion with saying he's done his job. Is the world a wiser place because of Solomon? Absolutely. Are the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, wisdom literature, does that contribute to the wisdom of our world? Absolutely, if it's heeded and known. But if it doesn't make a difference, if it makes nobody change, if people reject it all and don't know anything about it, he says he's done his job. Verse 9, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. That is one aspect of wisdom, is that you want to spread it. Also note that that's one of the aspects of foolishness. If a person is a fool, they want other people to be foolish. If a person is wise, they want to spread wisdom. So the preacher is saying, I was wise, I had wisdom. That's not proud, that's just what God gave him. Remember, he made Solomon the wisest of all. And no one would have wisdom like he did. And his wisdom went beyond, we're not talking just about spiritual, practical, moral wisdom. He had wisdom and understanding about God's creation. He was able to tell you about construction and about the nature, animal kingdom, how things worked. You would never exhaust Solomon's knowledge. People came from all around to hear his knowledge. They wanted to hear him talk. The Bible depicts a fool loves to hear himself talk. He's not going to be sought by others. Although there are people who are sought for their knowledge, whether it be foolish or not. So he's done his job. And when we have scripture given to us, laid out before us, and this is true for every person on earth, the job has been done. As God said to Israel in Isaiah, what more could I have done for my vineyard? Why then, when I look for good grapes, there were these wild, inedible grapes, this wild produce from the ground. I put the wall up, I made sure it was fertilized, I dug around it, I made sure everything was right. So really, it is part of the foundation of they're without excuse, as Paul talks about in Romans 1. They are without excuse. The light is given without excuse. And so this is what the preacher, Solomon, did. If you look back all the way to chapter 1, verse 1, this is how he started. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. The preacher. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Verse 12, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. You start telling people today, you're a preacher. You're a preacher. Well, that's not always something you would say. I'm not ashamed of it. Clint Eastwood was a preacher in one of his movies. Pale Rider. But he wasn't no preacher. He had a collar that, you know, identified him as such, but he was a gunfighter. But when he announced that he was a preacher, that was like a bit of stunned silence. Solomon was the preacher, and he was the king. He is, in essence, the preacher of the nation, the pastor of the nation. Because as king, you recall in history of Israel, the way the king went would set the tone for the nation. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. We can often think of the fact that if a leader is bad, then we don't have to be bad, and not everybody is. But the tone of the nation is affected by the preacher. And a preacher can be either supportive of God's word and morality, or a king or a leader can be against it. And most in our day are against it. You go to all the leaders on the planet, and how many of them are God-fearing Christian men or women who seek morality and advancement of wisdom and the glory of God? And honestly, we've had for 8 years someone who is basically whatever God is pro in, he is con in. And really, compared to other nations, we don't have it anywhere near as bad as they do. In spite of the fact that it seems like every position we might state that God has it to our society takes the exact opposite position. And so to preach wisdom is to proclaim as the king and set the tone as the king for the entire nation. We could whittle it down to families where the father's to be the preacher to the family. Or I'm the preacher for the church and set the certain tone about the church's pursuit of wisdom and God's will. And you would have that duty in your place wherever you are. A mother is a preacher to her children in raising them. A father, the preacher to the children, to the home. And the king is the preacher to the nation. What is it we're going to follow as a nation? We don't have that same power. I've often wanted to call a press conference and have these reporters come in and say, listen, we're not going to be confused anymore about gender. This is the way it's going to be, and it was that way after that point. If you don't have that kind of moral leadership, then things fall off. And we've seen much, much, much decay in our day. But the preacher who is wise is teaching the people knowledge. That is not an aside to his kingship. That is building his kingdom. What do we want our children to do? If we build our families, we want our children to follow the truth. He wants his nation to follow the truth. Boy, that would be great to have a king like this who was wise. Now, Solomon had his immorality, and when he was older, we're told that his wives took his heart from the Lord. And we believe Ecclesiastes may be when he got his heart back. But he had his failures, and he became foolish, even though he spoke against people being foolish. But in essence, he was the wise king. He had the gift that God gave him. And so he taught the people knowledge, and it didn't come without effort. One thing that I think is a misnomer is that people who are intelligent or wise in the practical sense just are that way naturally. You know, they're gifted in that way. And they don't really have to think about it. Einstein didn't have to think about it, when in fact, the fact that you're smart makes you think more, because you've got more to think with. And it takes time. And it says here for him, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. They didn't just flow out like nothing. He studied on the matter. He considered and meditated upon it, pondering He made it into an orderly system of proverbs. He covered the basic facts of life, things that about who his son would marry and who his son would follow and who his son would not follow, and how his children would deal with money in the book of Proverbs. Ecclesiastes is really a book that is a philosophical treatment of the fact that without God, there is no meaning and purpose in the world. Who's to say this moral code or that moral code is right or wrong? Who's to say the Muslims who want to kill a bunch of people are wrong if there's no absolute moral code? But since there's an absolute moral code about murder and an absolute moral code about not following after false gods and false teaching, well, then the whole Islam system is gone based upon the absolutes of the Word of God. But if you don't have that, you don't have any reason to say anybody's wrong about anything. Your neighbor comes over and burns your house down. He says, well, there's nothing I can... What are you going to say? I can do what I want. So you go burn his house down. I can do what I want. What do you got? Two burnt down houses. And a bunch of sin. But the sinfulness was not... That didn't deter the action because it was not considered sinful. It was just done. So what Solomon's doing is laying out the fiber and fabric of the society, the nation that he ruled, so that the nation will be solid in truth. A football coach tries to instill in his players what to do on every play, where to turn, where to move, how to block, how to run a route, how to throw a pass. And if any of those go in the wrong direction, a hole opens up, some missed coverage, and then you got a disaster. And that's what Solomon doesn't want from a nation. Our nation, without moral leadership, is courting a disaster. Do you think they take care down here at Albemarle with those chemicals? Do you think they're careful with that? You believe they just tell everybody, oh, you just whatever, you know, that stuff there with that skull and crossbones on it, don't pay attention to that. That's just trying to scare you. You don't need gloves with that. You don't need to take care of that. Oh, that flame on the side of it that says flammable, oh, you can smoke right next to that thing. We sit on it and smoke. But they take care about it. Because the elements, the chemicals, have certain laws that require you to act a certain way around it. And if you don't act properly around it, you'll end up dead and maybe bring others down with you. This world is the same, has the same system of rules and orders. You can't forsake God. You can't do whatever you want to do and get by with it without any consequence. Because these laws are made by God. We're not going to get past them. So wisdom means that you're taught how to live in the world that God has made in the way that he has made it, so that you don't stumble and fall and take down many with you. You know, it's a disaster. Parents are killing their children in many cases because they're not bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and so they don't ever learn about the Lord. And then those kids grow up and they don't know the Lord, and they don't teach their children about the Lord. And then you've got moral bankruptcy. Nobody knows what the will of God is. It's like in Jerusalem when they shut the doors of the temple because nobody cared about it anymore anyway. And the very basic seed of society is what Solomon is dealing with. He's teaching the people knowledge and laying out many proverbs. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find acceptable words. In other words, the way to say it in the proper way so that it's communicated, which he says what was written was upright, words of truth. He wanted it to be according to truth, acceptable in the sense that it was a good expression of the truth, not acceptable in the sense that He wanted to write so that other people would accept it. That would be like the itching ears that false prophets scratch, because people want that. So this is what he does. He studies, he thinks, he contemplates, and he lays out delightful words of truth, which are delightful whether a person thinks they're delightful or not. And so, verse 9 and 10 says he did his job. He accomplished his work. And the result being, verse 11, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. There's a lot in that. You don't have multiple shepherds giving multiple wills and multiple moral codes and multiple varying laws. You don't have God saying, worship me only, and then saying also, worship me and these other gods. You don't have a consortium of gods coming together and deciding and compromising and giving a little to each and the other. That's what most polytheistic religions end up with. You've got to please each god in some way. This is just one thing right straight from it. If you have your kids and your kids grow up, and one of the first thing things your kids learn is who is mommy and who is daddy. And it's not acceptable to mommy and daddy. If mommy and daddy says you can't do this, if he goes to another mommy and daddy and finds that they tell their kids they can do that. And so they say they'll just listen to that mommy and daddy instead of this mommy and daddy. But that doesn't work that way. You can't change mommies and daddies. And one shepherd, that's all we got. If you follow that one shepherd, you won't follow Allah, who doesn't exist. You won't have the millions of gods of India that don't exist except in the imagination of their followers. So it makes then a practical difference. Goads are what the shepherd would use to guide sheep. You goad them in a certain direction. You move them in a certain way. And he's likening the words of the wise to guiding people in a certain way. Without that, what happens to the sheep? If you don't goad sheep, what happens? They just wander off, scatter. Scattered sheep are sheep that have no shepherd. So if you have no shepherd, you have scattered sheep. And sheep, as Brother Barry told us once, a long time ago, I think here, sheep are dumb animals. And if God is liking us to sheep, that is not a compliment. If you leave sheep around, they wander off, they scatter. They get out alone where they are more vulnerable to wolves or fall in a ditch or get off somewhere where they can't eat. But a shepherd guides them in the way that he wants them to go. And the words of the wise take these foolish sheep who will scatter and go wherever they want to go and fall into a ditch or topple off a cliff. And they will instead be guided to proper care and feeding. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You see, that's what a shepherd does. And the words of the wise are like goads from this one shepherd to guide people. But it also, they're like nails. They guide you in the proper place, but they also anchor you to things that you should be anchored to. That there's a solid foundation if you live in truth by the words of the wise. You nail something down, there it is. You don't lay bricks We have bricks around this building. You don't lay those there and just leave them. You put some mortar in there. You make them stick together. You nail boards in the house. You don't just put the boards in the house. This drywall in here, you know, that was nailed. They nailed that up. They didn't just lean it up there and say, no, oh, stay right there. Because it would have fallen. So it anchors us. So that's all you got. That's all you need. Because but what we have is a choice at this point. Verse 11 leads us, we're nailed down to the truth. We are guided by the truth. We have a foundation in it. We have a direction from it. So with that, what if you say, well, I just don't want to go that way. I want to go my own way. The Bible says we all do that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. If you don't have a shepherd, you've got a sheep who's going his own way, wandering off from the fold, getting into whatever trouble and falsehood that he will. That's what you've got with Islam, who say that they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't. You've got that with the Mormons, who say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they got him as the brother of Lucifer. You've got that with Jehovah's Witnesses, who say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't think he's God. You've got that with the Roman Catholics, who say they believe in Jesus Christ, but his blood is not sufficient to atone for their sins. They need Mary in there. They need the bank of heaven. They need purgatory. And they need the Mass and the continual sacrifice of Jesus in the Mass. And then on top of that, you have to put your good deeds into it. So you see, you could go to something else. But notice verse 12. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Be admonished by these. By what? The words of the wise. If you're a child and your parents laid a law down to you and it's the word of God, go with that, in other words. It's wise because it's from God. It's not wise just because you say it's wise. So you got to get it for yourself and hold on to it because there is no other place to go. Be admonished by these of making many books. There is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Well, that's true absolutely. If you study a lot, it's wearisome. But I believe in the context there, he's saying that, you know, you can go and find a lot of other books and a lot and study a whole lot more, and all you get is a weary flesh. Instead of being admonished by the words of the wise. I don't know how many books there are in the world. Books are going out of style. In Star Trek, they don't have books much. Captain Kirk had some old ones, just kind of like he had a hobby of reading old books with actual reading stuff. In Star Trek, you say, read me that book, and they'll read it to you. Of course, we got that today through our devices. Words are e-books now. Books are, you know, electronic books. And actually, you can now make more books even than before. But there's got to be a zillion. My daughter probably knows how many books there are in the whole world. There's zillions of them. And just think of this. If you had to go through all the books of the world to find out what was right, there's no end. Not only are there so many right now, people are writing them even while I am speaking to you. There are more books being written. I even wrote a book. I mean, that's how many books there are. And there's no end to it. And you could study. Go places. go into the east, go over into places where they meditate a lot. You know, go to Thailand or something. Get up in the mountains there and like that. I mean, it is unending. Wisdom gives us rest. Wisdom makes us to settle, to stop. We're there. If you don't have a house when you leave here tonight, there's a lot of houses out there. If you don't have one, you can drive all around and never land. But since you have a house, you can get out of here, go to your house, and be there and close the door. And tonight go to bed, rest easy, hopefully, because you're not in somebody else's house, hoping they don't come home. You're at rest. If you don't rest in the Lord, there's a lot of pursuit in front of you. There is a rest for the people of God, but there's no rest for those who are wicked. That's what God says in Isaiah. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. You can't light on anything. You're always looking for somewhere to land, and there's nowhere to land unless you land here. It's just the way it is. There's one God. In spite of what other people might claim to be their God. So you got to land in God or you're not going to have any peace. So the conclusion of the matter, verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That is very general, of course, but that's it. Fear God, keep his commandments. The emphasis there is on fearing God. And in whatever he says, his commandments, keep those. Not, other commandments from other gods or other philosophies. And there's always other philosophies. I've mentioned a number of times for some years now, we've been living under a new morality, postmodernism it's called. And a lot of the things that our president says are, if you know what postmodernism is, you see it's from that perspective. It's really applicable for this immigration thing. Because in postmodernism, before postmodernism, we would have said, Christianity is our religion. This is a Christian nation at the foundation. And we believe the Bible. We believe in Jesus. And then after that, people don't say that anymore because they say that's proud to say that Christianity is the religion, that the Bible is the Word of God. We are a Christian nation. We got to let everything in because who are we to say? It's an uncertainty. It goes from where you can say something's good or bad to where you can't say anything's good or bad because that would make you look proud and unfashionable for our day. And so much of the government these days has gone in that direction. Philosophies matter. So here's our philosophy. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. And notice it says right below that, unless you don't believe in God, then you can do whatever you want to, and you'll never be punished for it. Or maybe yours doesn't say that. But the world thinks that's there. They believe it's up to them to craft their religion, and if their religion is that they can do what they're doing, then God will say, well, okay, you were living under a different code, so I'm not going to punish you for that. It just doesn't say that. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. God will note every good and every evil deed and bring it into judgment. Of course, for the Christian, we're forgiven in Christ, so we're not brought into judgment. But the wicked are accountable for every evil thing. So there's no other God that will give us wisdom. There's no other God and no other system of theology and truth where we will be wise. And by by being wise, we can rest and have a simple life. The books are closed. We don't have to seek other books. You can seek other books to read, but not to find the answers. You can travel, but not to find a resting place, because we have all that in Jesus Christ. And the preacher, and this, and the Bible says, preach the word, be in season and out of season. Right now, it's out of season. But every preacher who preaches truth is benefiting his hearers, whether it's in season or out of season, because it's the truth. And that's the absolute that wisdom flows from. Any thoughts or comments you have?